Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
I picked Bob and Barb.
Of course you did. Of course you did. We need names. It's Bob and Barb.
They are truly my default names. And it dawned on me when I was trying to remember names from different countries last night, and I was laying in bed trying to say particular names, how much extra work I give myself.
It's a fuck it moment.
Yeah.
It's just lazy. Bob, Barb. But you know what? I think you've earned it after 450 shows. So right. Carry on.
And I actually started thinking that I may just do Bob and Barb in every single show afterwards. But I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if the names is actually what helps people remember certain shows.
Absolutely.
And certain personalities mm-hmm. versus instead of blending them all into yep. Bob and Barb, right? Like, anyway, a linguistics person might help me with that. If you are one out there and want to email me. Let me know what you think. Okay, let's start what happened in a session. So Bob is dead. Barb is the client. And he comes in and says, I would like permission to speak with her. She's asking for certain people today. I'm one of the ones on her list. I want to know if I can come to the top of the list in case she runs out of time. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So I ask her that. I just say, is it correct that Bob is on your list? Yeah. I said, is it correct he's your husband? Yeah. Because of course I don't know this stuff. So mm-hmm. it's just giving validations right off the bat. And I said, he wants to know if he can be moved up the list. She shows me her paper where she's taken an arrow and she's put the arrow and shown that he's moving up.
Aww.
Yeah. Good job. And she says, look. And I said, oh, like, that's a lovely validation for you and a really beautiful validation for me that he sees what you're doing. He sees and knows what your intention is. And the spirit world's trying to match that as you change. And I said, so sometimes it's hard for me as the medium to catch up.
That's neat. I will also note, too, that for anyone who's listening to this and going, oh, my God, they see them moving up and down the list. The ones who end up moving down don't feel upset.
Oh, that's a good point.
They don't get mad. They don't hold grudges. There aren't ill feelings. Like, yes, they know what's happening, but the knowing doesn't come with a judgment.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's so good. And I also want to say that if people come to future sessions and say, did anybody move on my list? I may never have any idea because it is so particular to each session, and each session is so unique to individuals that I find it difficult to say, typically speaking.
Well, also, it's different when someone, for fun, in their mind, wants to test you, writes out one list, then writes a second with an arrow and thinks, hope she gets this. Versus when your genuine priorities shift,
mm-hmm.
when real change happens and you're like, fuck, I got to reorganize how I get things done in the session.
Mm-hmm.
That's a meaningful message. That's not testing the medium, right? If your priorities never truly changed, you're just wanting to see if they can remote view a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different. And that I would say is a waste of time.
Right. And I think when it's just a testing of the medium, I think sometimes I don't get that information.
No, because the spirit guides
mm-hmm.
have different priorities for you. They are giving you messages that are going to hit home in meaningful ways.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fluffy, did I do enough to prove I'm good at this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, go on.
That's great. Okay. So then he proceeds and he says, I want to talk to her and apologize and acknowledge the things that I did in our marriage. Ask for her permission. So I said that to Barb and she goes, yeah. She says, it's exactly what I want. It's why I moved to the top of the list. I was trying to figure out if I was ready to hear it. She says, I've wanted to hear it. And she says, but then, I don't know, I've been listening to your podcast, and sometimes I hear where somebody else gets that apology, and I cry because it's like, I didn't get that. And I want it. And then she says, and then I booked the appointment, and I've been flip-flopping like a fish in a boat. She says, not understanding if I was really ready to accept it. And listening to some of your other podcasts where I hear where people don't, or I read in the reels comments like, too late.
Yeah. Can we pause here for a second?
Too little, too late. Why now? Like these comments in the reels from people who are stuck in their anger. And I'm not judging that. I'm just saying still in it. And not yet ready to hear the apology, make those comments. So it had her flip-flopping.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to comment on this because this comes up a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Many people come because they want apologies from parents or loved ones of different relationships.
Yeah.
And it's okay to not be ready to hear an apology even when you want one.
That's right.
And the reason I say that, and I really want to hammer this home, is because if you have a history of people-pleasing, and you were the people pleaser in that relationship, and now you're coming to a different place of awareness, and the apology comes too soon, keep in mind, and the person's dead. So many of humans are saying too late, but I'm saying too soon because that people pleaser has not gone through an actual process of understanding deeply what happened, the effect that it had on them, and getting in touch with their own emotions, like anger. Then the apology isn't going to necessarily help in a ton of ways because we would be skipping process.
Oh, I love that.
If you're a people pleaser and the person passes and the next day, I'm rushing things on purpose here, the next day you have a session and they're like, I'm so sorry, this is what I did in the marriage. You were right. I shouldn't have done this. You deserved better, et cetera. And you're like, okay, I guess they know. We might then think I don't have a right to go through my feelings of anger or rage or betrayal or all the things that we have to genuinely process that we were avoiding or just not understanding in the human experience as it was happening.
It just hit me.
So it's okay to not be ready for the apology if you are at the point in your stage of grief, not over the loss of the person from death, but over the grief of what your experience with them was, you don't have to rush that. In fact, it might be really healthy for you to be exploring the feelings, not believing them, not trusting them wholeheartedly and thinking they're the only piece of information, but actually getting back in touch with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of a healing process. You don't get to skip it. And I mean, you can choose to skip it, but that means you're not actually going through a process. You're in avoidance again.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oh, I felt that all over my back.
Call your chiropractor.
I felt that and I'm just sharing it with people so that they can understand that you might be listening to this right now and feel your own back tighten. Mm-hmm. Or release as you're hearing it, or maybe your jaw starts to clench as Kelly's talking, or unclench. And I say both because you may have one or both experiences, just wherever you are in your own process and how Kelly's describing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important. And some people, I might just say right now, some people listen to me, breathe, just take a breath after what Kelly has said. It's okay to hit pause. In the podcast, and maybe you already have, and you're just coming back, mm-hmm. and you're hearing that it was healthy to hit a pause, take a breath, maybe walk away, maybe come back to listening to this after your therapy appointment, mm-hmm. to talk about what Kelly just really said to you. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful, Kelly.
Yeah. I think I talk about this a lot. We want to run away from anger because it's so uncomfortable and it feels scary sometimes, right? Yeah. We can get frightened at our own level of rage, that our feelings of violence inside our thoughts or inside of our bodies, because anger is a vibrational energy, right? Mm-hmm. And when we don't trust ourselves to handle it well, we want to get rid of it. We want to get over it. We want to get past it. All the different ways that we can talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. And we basically want to deny its existence because mm-hmm. we're afraid of it. when we can sit in it and have healthy outlets for it and actually explore and be curious about the anger, we can learn a lot from it. Mm-hmm. We can learn where a boundary got crossed. We can learn where a feeling got hurt. We can learn where expectations got let down. We can learn where someone was supposed to be responsible and wasn't, mm-hmm. whether it was us or another person.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We can learn where the anger really belongs, at ourselves or others or a little bit of both. Like, there's so much learning to be done with our emotions instead of just going, these are uncomfortable, I don't want to feel them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So he asks for permission to talk to her and to apologize. He says, I would like to acknowledge. Is that okay with you? I would like to apologize. Is that okay with you? And he breaks it down out of showing her respect and also basically checking in to say, are you ready? Are you okay with this? And at that point, she says to me, wait, I forgot to record the session.
Oh.
And I said, no problem, because now it's queuing in for her. Hey, I may not be able to digest all of this right now. I've listened to enough of the podcast to know, record, because I may need to listen to this after I get through some of the stages you were just talking about in that grieving process. And that's when the session actually makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. That's when I actually get to get into that next sentence that he says, not all right now at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 19th or something, right?
Yeah.
That it's for a later date in the future when I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that people don't always necessarily understand is that we have this time, we have this hour or half hour, 90 minutes booked together, and they're going to say things to you that you're ready to hear today, but that you may not actually be ready to hear for another year, another 5 years, another 10. And I know that because I've been in business for 16 years.
So it's almost like when you're doing a weight loss journey and you're like, you know what? I'm going to buy a size smaller in this t-shirt. Oh. I'm going to put it in the back of my closet and I'm going to fit into this in 9 months from now.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
The messages that come out in a session, yeah. You're like, okay, you know what? I'm genuinely open to hearing it. Might not be able to digest it just yet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tuck this note away or this recording away and I'm going to listen to this in a couple months from now and maybe it'll fit. Maybe I'll be able to digest it.
Kelly, I want to remember that for future sessions that I do to help people by giving that analogy so they can go, oh yeah. Because I find when you hear an analogy like what you just did, it helps people relate it to something else and go, oh yeah, I can understand that. Therefore, I can understand this a little better.
We do it almost in every area of our life.
Right.
Right? We do it with music. We can hear a song, fucking love it today because the beat just hits right. And then you're listening to the same song 2 years later and you're like, the lyrics in that bridge are fucking brilliant. How have I never noticed it? Well, because you were tapping along to the drum beat the whole time.
Right.
And you weren't paying attention to the lyrics. And that's okay. Something resonated before. Something different resonated now. Mm-hmm. Right? So I mean, we do it with music. We do it with fucking programs at work where we're like, you know what? I know how to do the basics to get by right now. You get a little bit comfy in your job. And a couple months later, you're like, oh shit, I can do more with this program. Mm-hmm. They taught me that in the intro. I didn't listen to it because I didn't need it at that time, right? And that's why we always have to come back to how is this relevant in my life?
I like how you're saying that because if you're living in a survival mode, you're just staying in the moment because I need it now and this pertains to me now, so survival mode. And then maybe if you're starting to come out of survival mode and you're starting to do a bit more thriving, then you might be able to sit there and go, ooh,
this makes more sense.
I see how this makes sense or how this could do this or how I could use it in this way or maybe I'll do this tutorial because you're coming out of a survival mode into a thrive.
Sometimes it's too much in that moment.
Yeah, right.
And it's hard to imagine relevance. If you're getting a message and you're like, I don't have that lived experience to make that message land right now. Sometimes we can't imagine how it would be helpful at a later date.
Right.
Right? So we do need to tuck it away for that later date when we're like, oh, shit just clicked.
Good. Okay. So he asks permission and she says yes. And then he begins and he says, I want to go back to when I met you. And she's like, okay. And you can see she's got a struggle with that. But it's like, okay, I'm going to listen. And I'm doing some tolerating here because I don't know why you're going there. Go ahead. And he begins. And he says, when I met you, I asked you specific questions in our very first dates. Do you remember how much I focused on asking you about family and saying how important family was to me, but then not sharing anything about my family? And she goes, what? Not sharing anything about my family and asking you everything about your family. And you were thrilled because I was focused on you. I was so engaged about your family, how your dad treated you, how your dad treated your mom. And he says, and I asked it in such a way, like I was so enthusiastic to want to know. And she went, like, you could see it took her a minute. And she goes, yeah, she says, I recall that. She says, but, and that feeds right through my whole life, was that he really wanted to meet my family, like immediately. And she says,
red flag.
Red flag. Oh, but she doesn't see it that way because of her culture. She does not see it like that. She thinks it's a compliment. It's priority. It's what he values. She does not see red flag, Kelly. So when you say red flag, she would look at you like you That's have fair. A horn on the top of your head.
Also, I'm assuming this was decades ago.
Oh, well, yes.
When we didn't necessarily know what a red flag was.
Exactly. True. So he explains then to her that the reason that he's doing that is because he wants to see what kind of dad she has. And if this is a very patriarchal dad that makes the decisions, because he plans to make the decisions, he wants to see if she has a mom that people pleases and complies, because he wants to see that she's going to people please and comply, because he does not want anybody giving him any kind of flack. Mm-hmm. So he wants to ask lots about what's your relationship with your mom like. Oh, we're super close. Oh, that's good. I really value a woman who has a really good relationship with her parents. And I still see that to this day. I just saw it on Instagram just yesterday, comments like this. And she says, or he says to her, I wanted to meet your parents as well very quickly. To kind of like bring it in, like, let's go over and play cards with your family. Let's do family things. Let's do a picnic with your family to show that I was a very family-oriented person because you wanted children. So it was also kind of his way of saying, oh, yes, I want children. And I value that. So he was keeping an eye on it to see how does the dad treat her? Is she compliant to the dad? Is she people-pleasing to her father? Is her mother people-pleasing to the father? He wants to see all of these things, but he refers to it in certain ways like a tight family. Mm-hmm. And when I said that, she was like, oh, God, that's, you've got my husband. He says he always wanted to refer to it as we're tight, meaning we're close. Mm-hmm. But what close and tight meant was compliant.
And that alone, I think, is going to be worth the entire podcast for a lot of people. Tight meant compliant.
Mm-hmm. Close meant compliant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we have each other's backs meant compliant. Mm-hmm. Like that there was a whole bunch of language that was used there, mm-hmm, in a way to have her mindset. And this is what he ends up getting to near the end of the session, is that he's talking all about her train of thought through the whole session. And I wrote that down at the top, train of thought. Just because I can't remember when I'm channeling, I have to write things down at, mm-hmm, the top on my little doodle pad, and then see how it comes through the entire session and go. And this is usually when I say, oh, here's our full circle moment. Yeah. And I hold it up and I go, look what I wrote at the top of your page. There's the line. And that's the thread that goes through someone's session. Now, not all sessions are like that, because people just don't let it go that way. They move from service to service, for instance, mm-hmm, and all of a sudden I'm doing other services and I can't. So that's not in every single session. And I'm saying that because some people will say to me, how come I didn't have a session like one on your podcast? How come it wasn't full circle? How come it wasn't threading a needle? And it's like, because you picked 5 services in half an hour. Mm-hmm. I can't thread a needle and link everything when I'm doing 5 different types of services.
Your thread was chaos. You're welcome. Your thread was probably avoidance.
Yes.
But it's hard to summarize that because how do I, in a half an hour, do consent, do the five services yes. that you've asked for, and summarize in a nice way
yeah.
that you avoid?
Oh, Kelly, because say it again. In a nice way.
That you avoid. And I mean, you guys know, if you've listened to the podcast and you've done a session with myself or with Karen, like, it's always meant to be delivered with love so that you can understand yourself more deeply and be able to get into the right direction to help yourself heal, right? Mm-hmm. To move forward and heal. So it's very difficult to, in a safe manner, right? Making the client feel safe to receive the message you avoid.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 30 seconds to say, okay, thanks, have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because right. we need to treat that moment with care.
Yeah.
The whole point from the spirit world when you receive that type of a message is to handle you with care
mm-hmm.
so that you don't feel shamed or judged mm-hmm. and that you feel empowered to want to do something about it, to look at yourself.
Kelly, I want to add, sorry, did I cut you off?
No, you go ahead.
I wanted to add something here. These are often the people, and I say often because not 100% of the time, of course, these are often the people that you will see on Google Review under Karen Sarlo bashing the shit out of me.
Yeah, and often, sorry, I cut you off.
Because of exactly what you said, they are the people that want to avoid and are also the people that avoided and then will say something like, she was vague.
This session made no sense.
Yes.
Because they actually don't want to see the thread.
Exactly. And I just leave it be. After the last conversation with you about this type of situation, I've just decided to let all of the Google reviews be what they are. Mm-hmm. And then let people read those Google reviews. And if they truly are followers and listeners of the podcast and what we do and how this actually works, they're outing themselves. So I will leave that. Let's go back to Bob and Barb. So Bob goes back and he explains the dating. He explains how strategic his dating was and what he was looking for in his partner and that her family and her father in particular, but I'll say a mom who's people-pleasing, have really groomed her into certain thought processes. And this is key. Is that she's groomed right from childhood into the ways of thinking. How do I fix this? How do I please? How do I? All of these things. What's wrong? What's wrong with me? Not what's wrong with him. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with me? So there's a thought process there, and he points that out. That there's a thought process that her father is really ingraining in everybody in the family. And so then what he sees through that dating card night, the picnic, he sees this is perfect. I see the dynamics. I can easily fit in. This father is a me. I love this guy. I love my father-in-law. I see him as absolutely a role model for me. And I use that word role model. And she goes, oh my God, that is exactly my husband. He said those things frequently. That my dad was his biggest role model. And she goes, oh my God. And you can see in that moment, all of a sudden, where the light comes on for her, oh my God. And then you can start to see, I said to her, pardon me, I'll finish my sentence. You can start to see that she has been manipulated right from the dates, right from the first conversation. And then she sits and she goes, I married a narcissist. And you can see that she has changed from the time that she was in that position decades ago, that she was groomed into this in life. And then she looks at me and she goes, I don't know if I want to beat something to death right now.
The rage I was saying is
right?
scary.
Right? Yep. And she says, but understand, I really don't want to beat anything to death. She says, I'm explaining my rage. I'm not that person. I said, I understand. And she said, I'm in a rage and I want to cry. And I said, that makes sense because you've had to shove down. You've had to suppress all of the sadness, all of the anger. And she said, okay, you keep going. She says, this is, I'm good. I'm okay. She says, I'm here to listen to this. She says, you keep going. And she says, and some of it I'm not. She says, I realize I'm compartmentalizing really quickly to be able to hear some of this. So keep going. And I'm going to tell you, keep going.
That's the beauty of the recording though. You're able to Bingo. Say, keep going, because get all the messages out. I will listen to it at half the speed if I have to, over and over again when the session's done.
Yes, and this is why in the consent process at the very beginning, the very first thing I say to every single client for 16 years is, you have the right to record your session on any device you choose. That's the first thing I say. So, and it's said, you get to write notes is the second thing, because not everybody can record for whatever reasons.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's a big thing. Like, don't do it on your phone. You can't record if you're tuning in on your phone for Zoom.
Yeah.
You got to be on a laptop or an iPad or something
else. Exactly.
For the file to be able to save.
And this is why I'm patient when people panic and go, oh, I have to get up and get a pen and paper. And I say, take your time, get your pen and paper. Because I know how important it is for these people, men, women, whoever you are, everyone, to sit down and be able to say, oh my God, I forgot to record, or I forgot my pen and paper. And I'm like, go get your stuff, girl, mm-hmm. or guy, or whoever, get your stuff, sit down. This is the most important part in that consent process, is that. So when people say, oh, you can skip consent, I listen to your podcast, I go, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. I will do what I'm going to do. You're not in control of this part. Mm-hmm. I am. And I like taking that kind of control, especially for the people who want to rush through that process and say, oh, I don't need to do that. And then afterwards email me and say, do you have the recording? When I have clearly said I do not. Mm-hmm. So then he goes into and says, I made sure that we went from being married to having children right away. Mm-hmm. He said there was no plan to have kids in 5 years. There was no plan for you to get into your career first and get established.
No.
That was the last thing I wanted.
Let's trap her fast.
Yes. And I want people to hear that. There was no plan to give you 5 years to get established.
Okay, I'm rewording this on purpose.
I know. Go ahead. You do your. You do you.
You're starting it and people will hear there was no plan. And I'm saying the plan was trap her fast.
Thank you. I know the plan. I know what you're doing. And I'm saying it on purpose because it's the way he said it. And then I know that you're going to do the opposite. Reword it so that everybody truly understands it. Thank you.
Well, thanks.
Coach Kelly.
Thanks.
So he then says... that they had children and he needed male children. So they had girls at first. So I said, oh, I said, you had female, you've got daughters. And she goes, yeah, like all just, yeah, happy. And I said, and he insisted on more and more children until there's a son. And she goes, yep. And I just thought that was normal. I just thought all guys want a son. And I said, no, he was looking for a son to be able to have another male in the house to have control over you and to have control over his daughters. And she goes, okay, but you can see she doesn't know where to go with it. So that one falls flat so far. I'll say flat because she isn't absorbing it. Mm-hmm. It's not making sense. And I know that, not just by observing her, but what I feel in my body, mm-hmm. and I'll say that because it's just an odd feeling, right, Kelly, when you're channeling and you know the client isn't getting it. Mm-hmm. You just feel that they're not getting it. But also his spirit will say she's not getting this because of the damage I did to her over mm-hmm. the years. So then he goes on to talk about what he did to the boys, and this is important, and the girls, the daughters and sons. So he says that he takes the boys out on the weekends and he leaves the girls home with mom. So the boys go out for fun. So the boys go out and learn to golf. They go to games. They go to the movies. They do things, I'll say, age appropriately and sometimes not age appropriately. Because he wants to golf, so they sit in the cart. Mm-hmm. He wants to whatever, they sit and wait for dad. And as they age, he says things to them, and this is very important. He says things to them, to the boys, like, okay, this is our little secret. Okay, this is just for the boys. And then as they age, it becomes more aggressive. It becomes more forward in that the girls don't do these things. This is something that the boys do together. This is the guy's day. And now, and you can see where the language at the beginning was more age, it's not age appropriate.
It's more subtle.
Oh, thank you. It's more subtle. Thank you. Thank you for correcting that language, Kelly. That's important that you did that. I appreciate it. And then as it gets older, it gets less subtle. And when he's at home, he's able to give them looks like, mm-hmm. He gives them signs with nonverbal cues at home, like, and they're threatening, like, and he's told them when they're out, well, if you do this, if you go home and you tell your sisters that we're having this much fun, they'll want to come. It'll get ruined. So there are threats that this won't be as fun because it can't be as fun if there's girls present.
And this is how the patriarchy survives.
Oh, yes. And I think it's so important to hear the type of conversation. And when they're at home, sitting in a room, watching a game down in the basement, and mom's calling for help, his response is to ignore. Pretend he can't hear. So the kids will say, his sons will say, Dad, mom's calling you. Dad, mom's saying that she needs help with the barbecue. Dad, mom's saying, and he looks at them like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And they get the look of disapproval, of anger, to shut up. So they learn you don't tell dad when mom's calling and saying things. And when mom says, hey, Bob, can you not hear me down there? He laughs.
This is why it's so important to give people time to be ragey.
Yeah. He laughs. He shows disdain. He uses the forms of verbal abuse. And he trains the boys that this is what we do. But this is boy thing. It's not unhealthy shit. It's what boys do. Boys. And then this is what teenagers do. And by the way, you get to game longer if you do these things. You get to drink longer. You get to play Legos longer. You get to play with your friends longer.
You get what you want.
Yes, you get to hang out with dad longer. You don't have to work. You don't have distractions. So they're being taught that this is what you said. This is how you get what you want if this is what you want.
Yeah.
And he's trying to say what we want is fun for us. Less work, less connection.
I was just going to say that's the important piece is you have to disconnect from all the women in your life in order to get your immediate impulses met. Because it's not genuinely what you want, right? Like, yeah, little kids want to play a little bit longer, but humans, developed humans, they don't want disconnect. That creates depression. It creates anxiety. It creates low self-esteem, which feeds narcissism. It's not what they actually want. They've been trained into the disconnection and they think, well, it looks good on the surface. Or I belong to this person who has power over me. But then they don't know that that's how their thinking develops and they don't know how to get out of it.
Thank you. And they equate that power with I'm loved.
Yeah, because that's the belonging.
You got it. So I say all of this because he's asking me to. And I say all of it to her, and she's destroyed.
That's fair. That's devastating.
She is destroyed. She is crying. And I am sitting there trying to hold my own shit together to be there for her because this is her session. Mm. And I said to her, I check in. Are you okay? What do you need? Do you need a pause? Do you need to change the subject? Do you need a breather? Do you need a washroom break? What do you need? He wants her to be able to understand why her children, her daughters-in-law, her grandchildren have ghosted her, have gone no contact. And now she's also finding out, and she does confirm in the session, that everyone's, that they're all talking to other people in the family and her friends, that she's a narcissist. They're saying she's a narcissist and they've gone no contact. When in fact, they are the unhealthy people. And they are the ones that have created the story of her so that people will blame her and think there's something wrong with her to further isolate her. And he explains all of that to say, this is what's going on. Your best course of action is to start therapy and deal with it instead of trying to go back to these people. Mm-hmm. And so she sits and looks at me and she goes, okay. She goes, "This, I've got a friend who's been telling me," and then she briefly explains about a friend saying that the friend is trying to say to her, "You're not the narcissist. I've known you for decades. You're not. You're a people placer, but you're not a narcissist."
For clarity purposes, though, there are people pleasers who are raging narcissists and they're covert.
Yes.
So don't take this one podcast and say, if I'm a people pleaser, I can't be a narc.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
That is a different situation. But
that's why I said that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate it, Kelly. So she confirms that the friend tells her this and says, look it. There isn't any reason that you should want all these people back. Mm-hmm. And I can't convince you of that because they're your family and you think you have to have them in your life in order to be cared for, in order to be safe, in order to be loved. You've got some core beliefs that aren't necessarily true, but you're going to have to figure that out in therapy. So put your money, take all the money that you saved for the grandkids and for the weddings and for the birthday gifts, take all your money and actually put it in therapy. Put it in something that actually will give you back your sanity, that will actually...
Healthy ROIs, return on investment. Okay?
Yeah.
You have to think of yourself like a fucking business.
Right. That's good. The way that her friend ends up saying it to her, though, is just about her own self-esteem and about what she wants in her own life, which is what you're saying are the ROIs. And she just, her friend encourages her to do this. And so Barb looks at me and says, oh my God, my girlfriend so-and-so has been telling me this and that this is where I need to go with my life. And I've been avoiding it. And I said, yes, that's exactly why your dead husband has come in to say this. And she goes, okay. She says, so he's telling me what's going on behind the scenes. Yes, that was the point of the session. He wanted you to understand how deep this goes because you're still thinking that you can fix it. Mm-hmm. You have a train of thought that you keep following that you can fix me, that you can fix your sons, that you can fix the daughters-in-law, that you can fix the grandchildren.
Which is fair because she was taught that it was her job to fix things growing up by daddy.
Yes. And there's the thread moment of going back to the beginning where he wants to meet dad at the very beginning of meeting her and why he's his idol. He's the guy he looks up to.
This is literally, this podcast is why I think people should have to have very rigorous exams in order to have babies.
Okay. Yeah. So he's then saying, I showed up today because I want to give to you the things you needed to know that I hid from you behind your back. the ways I showed the boys with my looks disapproval, the way that I groomed them right from the time they were children, and that it was to disrespect you and your and their sisters.
Here's how I weaponized our children.
Yes, against their own mother. And then had them turn around and say she was the narcissist. And he says, I want you to understand it because it's the best thing that I can do to free you. So she sits there and she says, this might be the nicest thing he's ever done for me. And she's, and I said, well, I don't know. You'll figure out if it's nice, not nice. You'll figure it out. But you can see where she's just struggling in her own thinking to try and figure out what actually is that. And that's fair because her whole life, right from the, right from her own father, what is nice and what she thinks is love is often so much abuse. So it's fair. So I said to her in that moment when she said that, I commented, I said, hey, just from Karen, that's a fair statement. Mm-hmm. And it's fair that you don't know the adjective and you don't know the emotions that are healthy. It's fair you don't know. That's why dead husband has suggested therapy. Because a therapist is going to be able to sit there and say, okay, reasonable, without judging you. Mm-hmm. Without the judgment. And just gently bring you to the other emotions, gently bring you to the right vocabulary. So she said, so the end of all of this is basically that my next steps, and I said, yes, you've already got them. And she goes, oh, I was going to ask you what my next steps were. And I said, he said them. Your next step is therapy. Your next step is education to understand more deeply. And I said, I know many therapists that take these recordings and use them in a session and are willing to listen to a channeled session to be able to understand what information you were given, make their own notes and their own assessments about it, and bring their own expertise to be able to help you. And I said, if you're fortunate to find a therapist that's willing to do that, ask them.
You got a fucking cheat sheet.
Yeah. I said, like, ask them up front. Are you willing to? I'm looking for a therapist that is willing to work with me and with this recording. Ask, because that would be your goal. So anyway, she wanted to know next steps, and that was what it was. And that's how her session wrapped up.
She sounded grateful, which is lovely. Okay. That was, you did a great job of it. It was just, there's a lot. I hope people have a palate cleanse today.
A sip of coffee.
But
a little
also,
walk in nature.
Yeah. A palate cleanse just to like kind of recalibrate, the energy. Mm-hmm. And if you need to sit with the discomfort of this podcast for a little bit, know that you're safe to do it. Mm-hmm. A lot maybe has resonated today in people's own individual lives where you can see, okay, who was weaponized against me? How was I weaponized against others? Mm-hmm. Right? Where we can actually draw that parallel and learn something about our own situation. So please don't run too fast from it. I think this was highly educational. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.